re-escalating Middle East tensions sent oil prices into the stress zone again, fueling inflation expectations around the globe and pushing global yields higher, hence weighing on equity valuations. In this context, Korean shipmakers remain under a heavy selling pressure as investors question whether the sell-off reflects the ugly geopolitics or rising borrowing costs or simply a correction after a parabolic rally. The weakness has also spread to European and US technology stocks yesterday, mind you, and that despite encouraging sales figures from TSMC. So it is under these conditions, under these circumstances, that attention turns toward the US inflation data and the new Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's testimony before the US Congress today as markets price a growing risk of renewed Fed tightening. So welcome to Swissquote's daily market talk. It's Tuesday, the 14th of July. I'm İpek Özkardeşkaya. We are going to discuss about the ugly geopolitics and their implications across the global economies and financial markets. But before we do, and as always, please keep in mind that opinions are my own and this is not financial advice.
This show is brought to you by Swissquote.
So a quick glance to the oil chart this morning tells a lot about what's going on across the global financial markets today, because US crude jumped 9% in yesterday's trading session, past the 200-day moving average, the limit that I was watching to distinguish between. This is just another blip, and we are back to the stress levels in oil markets. And the US crude is up by another 2.30% this morning at the time I'm talking here. So overall, US crude gained up to 20% since the July 2nd dip below the $70 per barrel level, and it is now flirting with the $80 per barrel level this morning. Also, the spot prices are rising faster than the futures, which is a sign of rising stress regarding the supply in the short run. So as I said, we are now in the stress zone in terms of oil prices. The Middle East tensions re-escalate. US attacks Iran. Iran attacks the neighboring Gulf countries. The US blockade on Iranian ships is back in the Strait of Hormuz, but not only, because this time around the US also demands a 20% fee on all cargo shipping through the Strait of Hormuz. Well, that's really bad news, mind you, as such a fee will fuel the transit costs way past the $2 million fee Iran wanted to charge by ship. Because if you do the math, a fully loaded oil cargo is worth about $150 to $170 million today at the current oil prices, and 20% of it comes down to around $30 to $34 million fee. Bloomberg says it would be against international law. And I say that some people at the helm of the US are going out of their minds. And well, the latter echoes very, very negatively across the financial markets, starting with the sovereign bonds. The US 2-year yield, for example, that best captures the Federal Reserve rate expectations, spiked to nearly 4.30% level. That's the highest level since February 2025. And benchmark for the European 10-year yield is up to almost 3.10% mark again, while the Japanese 10-year yield has eased today despite the rising oil prices, because Japan's finance minister Katayama said that the JGBs could be added to the tax-free program to attract some funds. But overall, the rising oil prices fuel global inflation expectations again, and the latter is pressuring the yields higher, and the higher yields weigh on equity appetite. So looking around, as in the early days of the Iranian war, higher oil and higher yields look to hit the Korean stocks harder than the rest. Though, I'm not necessarily sure that the geopolitical tension and the rising yields are the main cause, the main responsible for the sharp sell-off that we see across the Korean chip makers today, because I think that is maybe simply the correction of a parabolic rise that we saw in the country's memory chip makers' stock prices. SK Hynix yesterday closed the session 15% lower in Korea and is down by another 3.63% at the time I'm talking here this morning, as the Korean KOSPI index is testing the 100-day moving average and a critical Fibonacci support, which is the major 38.2% Fibonacci retracement on April 2025 to June 2026 parabolic rise to the downside. Slipping below this level will send the Korean index into the medium-term bearish consolidation zone and will likely call for a deeper downside correction until the volatility here comes down. And unfortunately for the rest of the technology stocks, the tech sell-off that started in Korea yesterday rippled through the European and US markets as well, not helped by rising yields there. Of course, ASML in this context retreated 1.80% in Europe, while VanEck Semiconductor ETF tanked more than 4% just in yesterday's trading session, and that despite good news from TSMC. The company announced yesterday that its June sales rose 6% from a month earlier and 68% from a year earlier. Both of these numbers landed near the high end of the company's own projections. The last numbers sparked no major reaction from investors at all. TSMC stock was up 1% yesterday and is down by 1% today. It seems like a set of strong earnings due later this week from TSMC must be much, much stronger than the official analyst expectations to meet the whisper numbers that are circulating among investors today. And that gives you an idea on how this earnings season may fall short of lifting investors' mood as inflation expectations take to lift again. Speaking of inflation, the US will reveal its latest inflation update for the month of June today. The expectations are encouraging, to say the least. The headline inflation in the US may have eased from 4.2% to 3.8% year over year, and core inflation from 2.9% to 2.8%. That would be great, but the problem is US crude came down 25% during the month of June, and US gasoline prices fell around 10% during the same month. But right now, US gasoline prices are already back to above the June levels, meaning that the next inflation report from the US will come in heated again. So today's CPI figures will matter less than the re-escalating geopolitical tensions in the Middle East and their impact on inflation expectations and the yields. And later today, the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh, will speak in front of the US Congress for the very first time, and he will tell his plans about how he will conduct its monetary policy. At this point, you don't need a master's degree in economics to know what you must do to fight inflation. You must raise interest rates to fight inflation. This is exactly what the activity on Fed funds futures are pricing today, a 77% chance for at least a 25 basis point hike in the FOMC September meeting. In reaction, the US dollar was up yesterday and slightly lower this morning, but the short-term outlook for the greenback is tilted to the upside on the back of these hawkish Fed expectations. And if oil prices continue to rise, the demand for US dollars will rise also, as oil is negotiated in US dollar terms, and the latter, along with the hawkish shift in Federal Reserve rate expectations, should also continue to give support to the greenback. Now, rising energy prices do fuel inflation expectations elsewhere as well, and could lead to rate hikes from the other major central banks. But the differential in growth rates between the US and these other economies suggests that the Federal Reserve today has a bigger margin to act than, say, the European Central Bank, which is dealing with negative euro area growth in the latest reading, remember, and the Bank of England, which is dealing with its own political chaos. And in the precious metals, the rising yields increase the opportunity cost of holding the non-interest-bearing metals. The price of an ounce of gold, for example, tested the $4,000 level to the downside yesterday, yet that support held, and gold is trading some $20 above that level this morning, with, however, little conviction that further stress across financial markets would drive capital into the precious metal. Because as we face another period of spike in energy prices, some central banks around the world could be brought back to selling their gold reserves again to stabilize their currencies and pay for this more expensive energy, and later could prevent gold from acting like a safe haven asset again, as has been the case in the first 4 months of this Iranian war. In the longer run, however, gold outlook remains positive, comfortably positive, I would say, and any price pullback is an opportunity for long-term investors to strengthen their bullish gold positions. So this is all for today. I'm Ipek Özkardeşkaya, and thank you for joining me, and thank you for all your beautiful and supportive comments. I hope this episode of Market Talk has been helpful and it has been insightful to you. So please do not hesitate to leave your comments, your reactions, and your questions below, as usual. Follow us on Instagram, on X, on LinkedIn, but also on WhatsApp, Threads, Telegram, and Blue Sky for regular market updates. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for daily market comments. And please, please don't forget to hit the like button on these videos to let us know that you enjoy them. So I will meet you again tomorrow. And until then, good day trading.
Trading and investing carry risks, including capital loss. CFDs and digital assets are volatile and not suitable for everyone. SwissQuote assumes no responsibility for accuracy or losses from its use. Products and services are offered only where legally permitted.